chapter 16. It's a story that you will be familiar with, about a woman called Lydia. I'm going to call her the woman of purple this morning. And we're going to look at two verses this morning, chapter 16, verse 13 and verse 14. I'm going to speak on 5 points about Lydia this morning. And these are the two verses. These are taken from the New Living Translation. And it says this: on the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank, where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. Verse 14. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth, who worshipped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. This morning I want to share 5 points regarding that lady called Lydia that we find in Acts. You'll notice from that small little story, from those two verses, that it speaks about two areas of this woman's life. The first area that it talks about in Lydia's life is her work life, her employment, what she did for a job. It gives us a description that she was a merchant or a dealer in expensive purple cloth. And that's what she did. That was her work. That was her employment. And a little bit later on, it tells us that she listened to what Paul was saying and the Lord opened her heart. And so the other area of her life is her spiritual life. And so in this two little verses, you've got two areas of a woman's life, of Lydia's life, her work life and her spiritual life. And so there's 5 points that I'd like to share with you this morning as we have a look at Lydia. And as we know, Lydia was a merchant, a dealer. Some of the Bible translations say she was a dealer in expensive purple cloth. Modern day terms would probably call her a saleswoman or a salesperson. She sold expensive purple cloth. She'd sell it. And this particular purple cloth that she sold, the Bible says, was very, very expensive. And it was what I would call a high-end product. It's high-end. It's costly. It's not cheap. You wouldn't find this in Deals or a pound shop. It's not in that zone. It's in the Armanis or the Guccis of this world. Yeah, are you with me? That's the zone that she is in. That's the mode she's in. This is a high end product. Now, the dye, the purple dye that was applied to the cloth to make it purple, I found was fascinating as I researched this. It actually came from what's called a Murex sea snail. And there you have a picture of a sea snail. And what would happen would be that somebody, whoever's job it was, I don't know whether it was Lydia's job or not, or somebody else's job, but they had to get the sea snails from the ocean. And once you have the sea snails, then as part of the organism in the sea snail, there's a part that has this kind of gooey stuff. And when you extract it, when it's exposed to the sunlight, it turns purple. And that's how they would get the dye in order to make the purple cloth. Now, some of the researchers say that this particular dye, the purple dye that is extracted from the Murex sea snail, it's so expensive that it's 20 times more expensive than gold in today's terms. Like, that is expensive. And some of the other researchers say that in order to get a pound in weight of purple dye from the sea snail, you'd need thousands. Maybe as much as 60,000 sea snails. Now, that's a lot of sea snails, isn't it? It's not a lot of sea snails in order to get a small bit of... But the point I'm trying to get you guys to realize is that this was very, very expensive. This was high-end. Now, you guys know as well as I do, if you buy a high-end product today, let's use a mobile phone as an example. If you want the latest, top-of-the-range mobile phone, and probably today it's probably the Samsung Note or something, or the Apple X, you know, these are the top-end. If you want to go and buy a top-end, high-end product, number one, it's going to have a high cost. Number two, it's going to have a high quality. And number three, it's going to have a high standard. And so it was with Lydia's purple cloth. It's that her purple cloth was a high-end product with high quality and a high standard. And I can imagine Lydia going to whoever it was that she would sell her purple cloth to. Say, do you want to buy some of my purple cloth? Would you like to buy it? And they'd say, oh, sure, you can get some of that down the road. Oh, no, you couldn't get this down the road. No, this is very expensive. This is a high quality. This is high-end product. This has a high standard. And so here was a woman that was familiar in her professional life with a high standard, because she was dealing with a high-end product. So number two, Lydia, she's a businesswoman. She's in the zone of making contacts. And she's out there. She's a businesswoman. She's got a schedule. She's out there trying to trade and buy and sell her expensive purple cloth. And she's out there trying to make business contacts. She maybe even has a busy schedule. She maybe even has lots of places to go and lots of people to see. And I wonder what her motto was. Did she say to herself, I've got to sell, sell, sell? Because she's a saleswoman. I got to sell today what I didn't sell yesterday. I got to sell today whatever it is I have today. And then if I don't sell it today, I've got to sell it tomorrow. But the product that I have, I've got to sell, because that's what I'm about. That's what my employment, that's what my role is. That's my professional zone. She's got to sell her product. You know, some people have a gift for selling. Did you ever watch that program, The Apprentice? You know, you have people on there and they have the gift of the gab, like. They could sell you anything. They persuade you that you need what they have. Oh yeah, I remember when I was young, growing up down in Mill Street. People down there, they have the gift of the gab, like. They would be telling you, this is a high-end banana. This is a high-end apple. Like, this is quality stuff. Like, you need these apples and oranges in your life. I remember my parents were, that's what they would do. Like, they would tell you the grapes, oh, these grapes are wonderful grapes. Like, you wouldn't get these grapes in Tesco. No, not these are high. This is a high-end product. Some people who are in that zone of being a salesperson, they have the gift of the gab. I remember my uncle, I used to be with him down beside Dublin's Halfpenny Bridge on a Sunday morning, and be selling chocolate. And he was another guy that had the gift of the gab. Like, he could sell sand to the Egyptians, ice to the Eskimos. He just had this knack of being able to convince people that you need to buy what I have. And you know one of the things he used to say to me? He used to say, Alan, he had a weird way of talking. He used to say, Alan, what you lose on the swing, you gain on the merry-go-round. I was like, what do you mean, like? And what he was trying to say was, Alan, there are times when, no matter how much gift of the gab you have, you can't shift the product. There are days when you just don't sell, like. But don't worry about it, because the time will come again when you will sell. And so I was thinking about Lydia, and I was thinking, did she ever experience that? Did she ever have those times, those days, those seasons in her professional life where no matter what she said, it just wasn't selling. And so you have to remember that her market wasn't the common man or the common woman. It was only the rich and the royalty that could actually afford what she had. So she was limited in who she could sell to. And so I began to think, maybe there were more days where she didn't sell than when she did. And I began to think, well, how did she cope with that? How did she cope with the days of nothing? When no matter what you do, it's just not happening, it's just not working for you, no matter what you say. And I think that, I wonder what her coping strategies were, what were her coping mechanisms to deal with the frustration of when it wasn't going her way, when it wasn't happening for her, when it wasn't flowing for her. And you know something? I think we all need that, to have coping skills. How does a person cope? When you look at yourself or examine yourself, what are your coping skills? How do you cope with the frustrations of life or the challenges of life that come your way? And I think about Lydia, and I think she was the same. That she had her own challenges in her own professional employment, in her own zone, that she had to be able to cope and deal with the frustration that she knew of those times when she couldn't sell or when the product wasn't moving. And so, there you have it. She was a businesswoman, but she had to cope. And Lydia, like, if you're working as a merchant and if you're working as a dealer or as a salesperson, like, it goes in hand that you have to deal with payment. Like, I can think about Lydia and I think, mate, if she went to somebody that was really rich and says, here, do you want to buy some of this purple cloth? And he says, yeah, I'll give you 50,000 euros for it. And so I give you the 50,000 euros because you're Lydia and I have the cloth now. And now she's walking around with a whole load of money. I would imagine she had to receive payment at times for when she did sell stuff. And so here was a woman that dealt and handled payment, whatever form of payment it was. It wasn't card payment, it wasn't Delta, it wasn't Apple Pay back then, but she would have had to receive some sort of payment when she gave her product, so she had to deal with money. And do you know something? And especially if her product was very, very expensive, maybe she had this whole wad of cash stuffed in her purse and she didn't want anybody to know about it because if people knew, she'd be a target for people that might want to try and mug her or something like that. But you know something that comes with the territory of dealing with money? It's pressure. It's that if you're in a role or responsibility where you've got to handle cash or you've got to handle high quantities of money, there can be a pressure with that because you think of, this is very important. This is a lot of money. I don't want to mess up here. I don't want to get it wrong. I don't want to. And then the other aspect of that is, if she didn't sell as much as what she wanted to sell, and there's no money coming in, there's no kind of finances coming her way, she would have to deal with the pressure of that. Because you got to live. And so when I think about Lydia, yes, I think she was dealing with a high-end product. Yes, I think she was a businesswoman. She had a business life. But she was also a woman that knew the pressures of money, of handling it or not having it come her way. And there are pressures that we all can know in our lives where you're dealing with the pressure of, if you have a lot of money, you think, I know a man. And he had an opportunity to work in a place in an organization. And he took this opportunity to work and he thought it was brilliant. And what happened was they gave him the responsibility of driving. It was his job to drive. But also his responsibility was to buy stuff when stuff needed to be bought. And unfortunately, this man had an issue with gambling. And what happened was that when he would bring back the receipts in order to get the cash, unfortunately, do you know what he did? He began to kind of dip into the cash box for himself and put a little bit into his pocket. And he tried to cover it up. And then he thought to himself, so nobody will know, like. But what happened was it all came to light. And when the organization kind of said to him, look, there is discrepancies got to do with this money issue. There's discrepancies got to do with this money issue. He just got all defensive and wouldn't accept the responsibility for what had gone wrong. And I think if you're dealing with money, there are pressures that are associated with that. That there's got to be a transparency. There's got to be an honesty and integrity and say, here, look, this is it. This is what came in. And this is what is going on. So we all know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They pretended to get one price for the property, but actually they got another. And so there was Lydia. And the first three slides really talk about her employment. She was dealing with a high-end product. She was a businesswoman, and she had to deal with the pressures of money. That's logical, isn't it? But the Bible also says that she was a woman of worship. And so there were times in her life where she had a busy schedule. There were places where she needed to go. There was people where she needed to see. But there were times where she would have to say to herself, no, I can't meet you tomorrow because I've got another appointment. I've got an appointment with the Lord. I've got to go and worship. Here was a woman who the Bible described worshipped God. That was part of her life. That was part of her lifestyle. This was something that she was familiar with. This is something that I hope that she liked to do. And there are many benefits to working, employment. But there are also many benefits to worshipping God. And we have known those this morning. When anyone brings themselves into the presence of the Lord and they present themselves and they say, Lord, I love you. Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for everything that you have brought into my life. Thank you for the goodness and for the blessings that have fallen down from heaven upon my life. There is a benefit that is known in the heart. You've known the benefits of worshipping. There is a freedom and a new dynamic that is known when one enters into the presence of God that is not known just in anywhere. There is a great blessing in being able to pour out your heart in worship and tell the Lord everything that is going on in your life, everything that is challenging you or stretching you or causing you to be frustrated. But there is a great blessing and benefit in being able to hand that over in worship and saying, Lord, I give all that is within me to you. I'm bringing it to you as an act of worship because I know that you reign. I know that you are sovereign upon the throne in heaven. And so this morning, I think about Lydia, she was a woman of worship. She worshiped God and she knew the benefits and the blessings of it. And there are many benefits and blessings to worshiping God. And finally, number five. The Bible says that as she was where she was, where Paul met her, that she listened to what Paul had to say. And that as she was listening to what he was saying, that it was at that precise moment that the Lord opened her heart. And do you know what I think when I think about that? Is that that's wonderful. Is that God, the Lord, opened her heart so that she was able to hear and respond and accept the word of God for her at that precise moment in time. But if the Lord opened her heart at that precise moment, it also tells me that right up to that moment, her heart was closed. That if God opens a heart, then it previously must have been closed. And so as I think about Lydia, I think, yes, she was a woman of work. And she knew the benefits and she knew the blessings of work and she knew the busyness of work. She knew the busyness of having a job and having a professional role. She was a businesswoman. She was dealing in a high-end product. Yeah, she was dealing with money and payment and all of those things. Money coming in and money going out because she was a trader. She was a dealer. This is what she was all about. She was a woman of work. And yes, she was a woman of worship. Yes, she worshipped God. She knew the benefits and the blessings and the goodness of being able to worship God. Look out towards heaven. Look towards Him. And give Him the due honor and respect and the gratitude that He rightly deserves. And while she was doing this, there was also within her a closed heart. Until she met with Paul. And until she began to listen what Paul was saying. And at that moment, she began to... her heart was opened. So she could listen and accept what Paul was saying. And so this morning, as we think about Lydia, I don't know if you can identify with her this morning. You can see that she had a work life. And when you have a work life, work can be busy. And work can be stretching. Work can be frustrating. There are many challenges that are found in the workplace that you wouldn't find in the home place or in church life. Because they're only found in work life. And here was a woman, because she was dealing with a high-end product, she knew high standards. She knew and she was familiar with a high standard. And I don't know. What's your standards like in your own private and personal life? Here was a woman that she had to find ways to cope. To cope with work and to cope with a busy work schedule. But she had to find ways to cope when things weren't going her way. When money wasn't coming in or money was going out. But we all are a bit like Lydia in the sense that you have to cope. You have to find ways of coping with the challenges and the struggles and the difficulties that come our way. And she had to find ways to cope. And pressure. Sure. She was not immune. Lydia was not immune to pressure. The pressure of her role. The pressure of money, the pressure of trying to shift this high-end product that was so expensive. She knew pressure. And she knew what it was to worship God. The blessings and the goodness of walking up God, of worshiping God. But yet, here was a woman that right up to this moment, until she met Paul, her heart was closed. Now, I don't know if it had been always closed or she had gone through a little season where it was once open and then it was closed. But, sure, it had to be closed if Paul spoke to her and the Lord opened her heart. And here, in this little portion of Scripture, it says that she was listening. She was listening to what Paul was saying. She was listening, which was listening to the Word of God. And at that precise moment, the Lord opened her heart. And this morning, I don't know if any of those things resonate with your heart or resonate with your life. I don't know how your work life is. I don't know how your worshipping life is. I don't know if you're experiencing pressure. I don't know if you're struggling to cope with a difficulty or with a challenge. I don't know how your heart is this morning. But there is one thing that I think I'm confident of. Is that the Lord would like each and all of our hearts to be open. And maybe this morning, I think that's what God wants to do, is just to come to you this morning and just to be gentle with His Spirit beside you and just to draw you closer to Himself. And He just wants to maybe just open your heart a little bit more. It's nothing judgmental. It's nothing in a condemning way. I think that the Lord just wants to come as He did to Lydia and just open up your heart. Because when you have an open heart, that means that He can impart what He wants to impart into your heart. And this morning I think that if you allow the Lord just to open up your heart, well then He can bring something of heaven, something of Himself into you. something that no one else can give, something that no earthly man or woman can give. This is something of God. And so this morning, that as we bring these things to a close, I'd like you just to sit and maybe just ask the Lord in a very sincere way. Just say, Lord, come to me. Come and open up my heart. And the Lord will do that. And that's what he wants to do this morning. It's just to come to you personally and open up your heart, because as he does that, he can then just impart his message to you, that you sit just like Lydia, listening to him, listening out for the Spirit of God, listening for that personal word for you that can be imparted by his Spirit, all because of an open heart. And I don't know, maybe your heart has been closed towards the Lord. Maybe you've been having a little bit of difficulty with the Lord. But just be reassured this morning that the Lord comes just to love you and hold you and comfort you, and just to reassure you that he loves you. The Lydias of today, he knows of the pressures and the struggles of work life. He knows about you this morning. And I think that God just wants to draw you closer to himself. That as you sit, as you listen, as you present yourself to him, that he comes in a gentle but in a loving way, and he opens up your heart so that he can begin to minister to you in a way that you know how, and in a way that he knows. And so this morning, just sit, just reflect, and just commune with the Lord. And just say, Lord, I come to you as you come to me. Open up my heart that I may know you better, that I may know the closeness of you, that I may know the intimacy of just being with you and in your presence. And as I just bring these things to a close, I just want you to sit with the Lord. And allow him to minister to you, because he knows you. Lydia, the woman that is busy, the woman that knows pressure, the woman who finds it hard to cope at times, he knows you. He knows you, Lydia. And he just comes and he says, just allow me to open your heart so that I may impart grace and strength and love and something of his presence this morning. He knows you, Lydia. And so just sit and bask and bathe in his presence. In Jesus' name.